This is the Craig Rochelle Leadership Podcast.
Well, welcome to another episode of the Craig Rochelle Leadership Podcast. I'm really honored that you take a little time each month to spend as we talk leadership, which is so important because when the leader gets better, everyone gets better. This month, we're actually going to release two short leadership episodes. Last month, we talked about part one of creating a value-driven culture. If you haven't listened to part one yet, I recommend you listen to that. And then part two is available. And part two is really the important part where we bring a lot of application. Today, we're going to talk about something that's brief and really, really important. I'm calling it the forbidden phrase. The forbidden phrase. Before we dive into that, I want to just say a massive thank you to those of you who are sharing this on social media. If it's helpful to you and you want to get the word out, that means a lot to me. Also, they tell me it means a lot if you actually review this on iTunes. And so thank you to those of you who left a review. You can also subscribe to this on iTunes. You can watch it on YouTube. You can go and get this at life.church/leadership podcast. All of the notes are there as well. At the end of each teaching, I'll try to give you some application questions that you can go over with team members if you listen to this with other people, family members, whatever. And so if you go to life.church/leadership podcast or craigrochellebooks.com, the show notes will be there as well. Every month, I'll try to answer some questions if you have any type of question about what we're talking about or general leadership questions. Feel free to email me at leadership@life.church. Today will be brief. Your time is valuable, so let's dive in. Answering a couple of questions, RD asked this question, and this relates to the creating the right type of culture. He asked, what are the practices that contribute to an unhealthy staff culture, and what are the practices that contribute to a healthy staff culture? What leads to healthiness and unhealthiness in a staff culture? Good question, RD. Certainly, there would be a lot of different things. What I did is I made a list of the first six things that came to my mind. On one side of the list, the absence of these things would create an unhealthy culture. The presence of these same things would create a healthy culture. I know there would be more, but these are the first six things that came to my mind. Number one, if you've got an unhealthy culture, you've got unclear vision and values almost every single time. Number two, you're going to see weak communication. Your team leaders are not communicating effectively with those who are involved in the organization. Number three, almost every time in an unhealthy culture, you'll see an avoidance of tough issues. You've got staff problems, you've got challenges. People don't talk about them, they ignore them, pretend like they're not there, sweep them under the rug. You'll almost always see an avoidance of tough issues. Number four, in an unhealthy culture, you'll almost always see little or no feedback. You don't know how you're doing. You're not allowed to give feedback to those who supervise you or lead you. People aren't really telling the truth. There's very little feedback. Number five, there will be a limited ability for the whole team to contribute. What do I mean by that? Maybe you're in a meeting and you've got an idea, but you don't really feel like your ideas are heard or they're valuable. And so people sit around and they just don't bring their best. Number six, in an unhealthy culture, you'll see no goals, no direction, no celebration of wins. The opposite of these six things would be, what do you see in a healthy culture? You'll see a clear and compelling vision, number one. Number two, strong communication. Number three, your team will address problems and issues quickly. Number four, you will have honest, open, transparent feedback. Number five, you've got unlimited ability for anyone to contribute. Everyone's ideas are valuable. Everyone gets to make a difference. And number six, you'll have clear goals. You'll have clear direction. When you have wins, you'll celebrate wins. RD, thanks for that question. We had two people ask very similar questions. The first one was from Cobus. The second one was from Todd. Cobus asked this. He said, when you're not the top leader in an organization and you're seeing that the culture needs to change, how do you choose when to leave or when to fight? Okay, culture, you don't like it. Do you stay and try to fix it, or do you go somewhere else? Todd asked a similar question. He said, what would you say to a young pastor whose values are so different from the church that he's praying through deciding if it's time to go because of the value difference? Okay, really important questions, and I need to be very careful answering this because obviously this could impact your employment, could impact your lives. We talked about in a previous episode that you hire and recruit for values. You could teach skills, but you cannot teach values. Whenever we're hiring and recruiting, we hire and recruit people with similar values because you can teach skills, but you cannot teach and train values. So if we have a big value difference, that really is an issue. So Todd and Cobus or anybody else, I would just remind you, no organization is perfect. Right now, you might be going through a frustrating season that will pass, and so let's start there and acknowledge that. On the other hand, you might be at a place that is causing you to compromise daily on your values, and you feel like you're betraying who you were created to be, and so if that's an issue, then that really is an issue. If we're sitting down and you're asking this question, should I stay or should I go somewhere else? Maybe we're having coffee. What I'm not going to do, quite honestly, is I'm not going to answer it because that's too important. What I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you some questions and try to help you lead yourself to the right answer. So I jotted down these questions. We're chatting, just hanging out. You're saying, should I stay? Should I go? I don't know what to do. I'm going to ask you some variation of these questions. First of all, I'm going to ask you, are the values slightly different or massively different? Okay, I want to know that. Then I'm going to ask you to describe the differences so I can help gauge, oh, you're right, this is way, way, way different, or actually it's probably not that big of a deal. So I'm going to try to help you discover that on your own. I'm going to ask you, can you continue to make a significant difference, or do the differences in values limit your ability to do what you can do? And again, I'm going to try to help you discern how big of an issue this is. I'm going to ask you this. If things don't change significantly, can you see yourself being supportive of leadership 2 years from now? Or will the value difference cause too much frustration? It's a really important question. So 2 years from now, you're like, as you're projecting forward, if you can't take it and looking into the future will help you determine, then that might tell you something. Or if you would answer, yeah, 2 years from now, I still think I could make a significant difference, then that might tell us that it's not such a big difference. I'm going to ask you this. Do you think that your values are so different that it would be a relief to most of your leaders if you actually went to a different place? Okay, it's kind of a more challenging question, but if everyone is like, whew, I'm glad she's gone, that's actually going to tell us there's a pretty big difference. If you're married, I'm going to ask you what your spouse thinks because your spouse often has real valuable objectivity. And then finally, I'm going to say this. Based on how you answered these questions, what do you think you should do? Based on how you answered these questions, what do you think you should do? All right, let's dive into the teaching today. It's going to be short, but it can have a massive impact on your organization. I want to talk about the forbidden phrase, okay? When I'm working with leaders, I've heard this common phrase over and over and over again. I've heard church planters say it, sales managers say it, a guy starting a tech company say it, a pastor of a traditional church say it over and over and over again. And once I started hearing this phrase repeatedly, I actually tuned in and started listening to it. And the more I listened for it, I heard variations of this so many times, it's hard to describe. Okay. Almost every leader I know has said it. I've said it. You've probably said it. Almost every leader has said it, but we're not going to say it anymore. Are you ready for the forbidden phrase? Here it is. The forbidden phrase is this. Well, our people won't fill in the blank. Our people won't, our people don't, where we are, our people won't. Okay? Here's some variations of it. Well, our team never fill in the blank. Well, my staff won't fill in the blank. Well, our volunteers, they just don't fill in the blank. Well, our middle managers, they refuse to fill in the blank. Our sales force, they just won't fill in the blank. Okay, let me fill in the blank with some things I've heard, but certainly yours might be different. Our church members, they just don't care about the non-church people. Okay, our sales guys, they won't make calls after 7 p.m. Our newest employees, they just won't work more than 40 hours a week. Our volunteers, they just don't care about the details. We just can't get people at our church to come to the early service. They just won't make room, okay? The people at our church, they just don't care about the next generation. Our frontline people, they're just not friendly. Our people won't. Our team members don't. We won't, okay? Whenever you start to say this, this is important. You're going to be tempted to discount or qualify your area, what you do, where you live. And so I'm going to tell you right now, watch for qualifiers. Watch for the reason why you think you're allowed to say some version of the forbidden phrase. Here's some qualifiers. Well, where we live, people just don't. Okay. In our part of the country, people just don't, whatever. Well, based on the demographics of the people that I work with, blah, 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 blah. Okay. Well, based on the age of our church, we never see this. Okay. In our part of town, well, based on the personality types of the people that I work with, well, based on the level of education of the people that I serve with, well, the younger generation, you see, they won't. Okay. The older generation, they don't. Okay. Those are the qualifiers. Watch for it. Anytime you start to make an excuse, you need to remember you can make an excuse or you can make a difference, but you cannot make both, okay? You can make an excuse or you can make a difference, but you cannot make both. If you want to take this to another level just for fun, apply this principle as a parent. Well, my teenager won't, okay? My kids won't. My daughter won't. You could even apply it to your pet if you wanted to. My dog won't, okay? When it comes to your cat, forget the cat. Cats will do whatever the heck they want, okay? But the key is this. We tend to say, our people won't, our people won't, our people won't, our people won't. What we have to say is this. It's a forbidden phrase. Our people won't, whatever. What we say is this. We have not led them to. We never ever say, our people won't do such and such. The only thing that we say is, I have not led them to. We have not led them to. A great leader never says, our people won't. A great leader says, we have not led them to. Let me just give you some examples. Well, our church members don't care about the unchurched. You know what? No, 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 no. We have not led our church members to care about the unchurched. Well, our sales guys, they won't work after 7 o'clock. You know what? I haven't instilled in them the work ethic necessary to do what it takes to get the job done. It's my fault they're not working after 7 o'clock. Our newest employees just won't put in 40 hours. You know what? I've got to drive the values deeper into our employees. When I do a good job, all of them will work and do whatever it takes to get the job done. Our volunteers just don't care about the details. No, 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 no. We have not led our volunteers to think like owners. They're thinking like volunteers. We've not led them to do this, and we take responsibility for it. We can't get our people to come to the early service. No, we have not led them to come to the early service. Okay. Anytime we sense ourselves saying some type of our people won't, we have to recognize we are casting blame. Don't miss this. A great leader never gives blame. A great leader always takes responsibility. Let me say it again. This is basic, yes, but this is organization changing when you embrace it. A great leader never gives blame. A great leader always takes responsibility. Please take this seriously. What do leaders do? Leaders lead people. You move them to a desired action. So what do we do? How do we do this? Well, we do what leaders do. We show them why what we care about matters. We tell them again and again and again. We celebrate any forward progress. We tell stories about those who get it right. We set the standard and we personally do more than we would ever ask anyone else to do in this category. We cast vision for it and we never, ever, ever give up. Over time, when we lead people to a desired outcome, we can change them. It's not our people won't. We haven't led them to. That's what leaders do. Two quick questions for application. Question number one. What is the number one excuse you're making about your people? Okay. Whoever your people are, your volunteers, your staff, your choir, your sales force, whatever it is, your managers, what is the number one excuse you're making about your people? Force yourself to acknowledge some qualification you're putting on. Well, we don't, I don't, we can't, where we live, blah, 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 blah. What's the number one excuse you're making about your people? Question number two is, what are three specific things you can do to lead those you influence to the desired result. Get specific. What are three things you can do to lead those you influence to the desired result? Why? Because we never say our people won't. That is a forbidden phrase to the great leader. We don't give blame. We take responsibility. Okay? These talk notes are available at life.church/leadership podcast. Again, thank you for telling people on social media if this is helpful for you. We'll catch up again next Thursday, first Thursday of next month, as we talk again about leadership. Remember, you don't have to know it all to be a great leader. You don't have to have all the answers. Simply be yourself, because people would rather follow a leader who's always real than one who's always right.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Craig Rochelle Leadership Podcast. We've already received tons of stories and questions for Craig, but we never get tired of hearing how you are growing as a leader. If you have a story to share, you can send us an email to leadership@life.church. If you consider yourself a student of leadership, we have an amazing opportunity for you happening in Birmingham, Alabama on Wednesday, May 18th at the Catalyst One Day. Craig will be alongside Christine Kane, author of the amazing book Unstoppable and founder of the A21 campaign. Early bird rates end April 14th, so head on over to catalystconference.com to reserve your spot today. If you've been enjoying this podcast, a simple thing you can do is simply rate it, review it, and share it. It's an easy way for you to help us reach more and more people. And thanks again for joining us at the Craig Rochelle Leadership Podcast.